Everybody blessed this morning?
Amen.
Let's make sure we welcome Sherman. Love you guys. Miss you. Look forward to being with you again. All of our other locations. And again, our global community, many in Uganda are logging on today. So let's welcome all of them. God bless you guys. Thank you for being a part of Victory Life. Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to end up eventually in Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. That doesn't look right. Genesis chapter 8. Let's get that. And I'm going to experiment with my new iPad today. So pray for me. I should have had all this ready. I apologize. There we go. Now we need to pray for sure. Father, thank you for your goodness in our lives. We are so blessed. And Lord, I just pray for our eyes, the eye of our seeing, our ears, the ear of our hearing, and that the Holy Spirit would have free course to enlarge our hearts, to touch us deeply as only you can. Thank you for your word. It is forever settled in heaven and earth. Help us to be settled in it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm excited about a new series that's been on my heart for about 4 years. That's a long time for something to dwell in my heart and not speak it out. But the Lord gave me a message on the mystery of seeds a few years ago, and specifically the power and potential of seeds and the power and potential of ground. And so I'm going to be laying a firm foundation, hopefully, to launch from. But I'm also going to get into some new things. And so I just pray that your heart be open again, your eyes to see, your ears to hear as I prayed, because God's got something for each and every one of us as it relates to how he works in our lives. I grew up honestly thinking, please don't mock me for this, but I grew up honestly thinking that certain people had a corner on God and they were special and God just moved in them and worked in them. And the rest of us, we just had to struggle through that. If any good thing happened, it was just a happenstance and you just accidentally wound up in the right place at the right time. And you just never knew. I remember even hearing messages coming up as a kid. You never know what God's going to do. Well, I don't want to be critical about that. There are things we don't know God's going to do in one sense, but there's one thing I know God's going to do. He's going to keep his word. He's going to love on you all you'll allow him. There's a lot of things we can learn about God and his kingdom that are consistent and they apply to each and every one of us. I grew up under a false teaching of sovereignty and that every good thing is just God sovereignly touching and zapping people. And man, I watched people all around me all my life get zapped by God. And then my life was, man, I just wish I could get a little electricity versus even being zapped by God. And these concepts locked me into a form of death. And then I began to see the word of God and the kingdom of God, and that while we live in a very unreliable culture, a very unreliable world, we live in a time of great change, and not all of it's for good. In God's kingdom, though, there are some constants that we can rely on that keep us stable in an ever-changing world filled with unreliable circumstances and situations. And morals are vacillating in our world. Standards are vacillating in our world. Things are really, really in a mess right now. But one thing we can count on is the word of God. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but God's word is going to endure forever. Another thing we can count on is the kingdom of God that's here, that's an everlasting kingdom. And the principles that govern that kingdom do not change. Do not change. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said that we need to be seeking the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and all of these other things that are distractions in our life will be added unto us. So if we're going to seek the kingdom of God, what does that mean? And if we're going to seek it first, how does that work in our everyday lives? And so I'm going to be sharing some of those constants in that kingdom and how that there are reliable principles in God's word that'll sustain you when everything else is being shook around you. And so how does God work in our lives? I'm going to be sharing on seed time and harvest. I'm going to be sharing on sowing and reaping. I'm going to be sharing on ground. And what is your ground that God's called you to sow to? Those are going to be some deeper things, but I pray that we can get there. So let's start again with a foundation. First of all, there are some constants even in nature, even in God's creation. In first creation, when God created this world, he created it with order and with structure. And there are laws that govern literally the universe that unless politics poisons those laws, they're constant. They're reliable. You can count on them. They're non-discriminatory. Can I get a witness that the law of gravity is a part of nature and it's reliable? And it can be a blessing for you. It's the law of gravity that's keeping you in that seat right now to hear this great message in Jesus' name. I believe I receive. Amen. But that law can be violated. And if you violate a law of nature, the law of gravity, that which God intended to be a blessing becomes a curse. And God's not the author of any curse when you violate the law of gravity. If you climb up on this building and you jump off, gravity's going to kick in. Some of you, depending on, no, let that go. It could kick in quicker for others than some, but it will kick in for all. It's non-discriminatory. You jump off the building, you're going to hit the ground because of the law of gravity. Yet there are other laws that override that law, that can cancel that law out. The law of thrust and lift. The law of aerodynamics is what causes that humongous plane to get off the ground. I'm telling you, every time to this day when I get on a plane or about to get on one, I have to fight my mind that tells me that puppy is not going to get off the ground. My mind will not allow me to believe that that chunk of lead is going to not only get off the ground, it's going to stay in the air. And yet there is a law of aerodynamics and thrust and lift that will supersede the law of gravity, at least for a season. But how many of you know if you turn the law of thrust and lift off, gravity's right there to meet you. So these laws aren't canceled out like they don't exist. They can be overridden with higher laws. That's a law of nature. There are laws that govern electricity. And had we known the laws, think about this. This is just huge in my mind. Had we known the laws of thrust and lift in Jesus' day, men could have flown. Had we known the laws of electricity, artificial light could have been present, refrigeration, air conditioning, all those things would have been available even in Jesus' day, but people didn't know the laws of electricity and how to cooperate with those laws. And when you cooperate with them, can I get a witness? They're a blessing. But if you violate them, how many of you know, it can be a curse. You could have a hairdo like mine just like that. If you violate the laws of electricity. And unfortunately, I have violated them in ignorance a couple of times and could have been killed. That's why I don't touch electricity anymore. There's a law of wisdom and smart that has kicked in that I'm not touching anything that's connected to electricity because I've violated those, again, in innocence and ignorance, but that's no excuse. The law of electricity is non-bias. It's not prejudice, and you cooperate with it. I don't care who you are, where you came from, what color you are, what your financial condition is. Do you get the point yet? That is a law that will bless your life if you learn that law. Well, the kingdom of God is no different. The things of this world, Romans chapter 1 says that in all of creation, God has revealed himself. Even his eternal power and Godhead. The attributes of God are revealed even in nature. Now, people have perverted that, and they say that the tree, for instance, is God. How many of you know a tree isn't God? God can reveal himself in a tree, but a tree is not God. The sun is not God. But God can reveal himself in the universe, and the things seen will unveil the things unseen. Well, in the kingdom of God, Romans chapter 8, verse 2, Paul talks about this law of life in Christ Jesus, that there's this law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has canceled out the law of sin and death in our lives. And that if we walk after the Spirit now and this law of life, we can override the law of sin now and death. But notice their laws. In Romans chapter 3, Paul talks about being justified by faith versus the works of the law. And then he makes this profound statement in regards to the Jews being saved by faith and the Gentiles being saved by faith. And he says, and I love this, where is boasting then? How many of you know if you're saved by grace through faith, there's no place for boasting. There's no place for glorying in self and going, I did this and I am this and I have accomplished that. Therefore, God in obligation has saved me. No, I'm saved by grace through faith. And so he makes the profound statement, where is boasting then? Of the works of the law? He says, no, but of the law of faith. The law of faith. He called faith a law. There are reliable laws that govern our faith as we walk with God. I can't believe I could go to church my whole life off and on like that and never hear one time, how do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you hear God's Word, faith will come on the wings of God's Word to your heart and life. So if you're in need of faith, you just need to be hearing the Word of God. That's a law that governs faith. Romans 10, 17. James 2, 26 says, faith without works or action is dead. That's a governing law of faith, that there's a point you can't believe one way and act another way and that faith be productive in your life. There's a point where what you believe, there comes a point in faith that you have to act on what you believe. Now, acting without faith is foolishness. Actions with no faith is acting. But Bible faith that burns in your heart will have actions eventually following it that bring forth fruit in our lives. So those are laws. And there are hundreds, thousands of laws that govern God's kingdom, and God wants us to understand those and learn those. Let's look at Genesis chapter 8 and see a law of nature, something God has said that is constant, something God has said that will remain. Again, just like I've taught you, never let what you don't know about God confuse you about what you do know. When you get in confusion or you get in an area of a lack of understanding, hang on to what you do know and you do understand. And in time, God clears up what we don't understand. The same thing's true now about living in a world that's so unreliable and that everything's changing and not everything for good. And how do you maintain your family? How do you maintain your home? How do you maintain your sanity in some of these changes? Anybody besides me wavering a little bit in your sanity? It's like, has the whole world gone crazy? Oh yeah, amen, everybody, yeah, amen. Well, how do I not become crazy with the craziness? I got to hang on to what I know remains. I got to hang on tight to what I know is constant, consistent, reliable, non-biased, non-prejudice. In Genesis 8, look at verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. Just as sure as the sun came up this morning and will set in the evening, so sure is God's word in our lives, is God's kingdom in our lives and in our midst. He said, these things are going to remain as long as the earth remains until Jesus returns, his appearing and his kingdom, and there becomes a new heaven and a new earth. This earth, as long as it remains, you're going to have seed time and harvest. You're going to have cold and heat. You're going to have winter and summer, and you're going to have day and night. And yet even these things are under assault in our culture today. Climate change is in the Bible. What you hear on these campuses and in the 6 o'clock news in regards to climate change is a deception. It's a perversion. God said, you can count on this. It's going to get cold sometimes, and it's going to get hot sometimes. You can count on this too. Winter's coming. Summer's coming. Now this year, summer delayed. It was like this was the coolest spring I remember literally in my lifetime. But I knew any day, according to the Word of God, it's going to get hot. And it came with a vengeance. Can I get a witness? It just came with a vengeance because God said it would come. You can count on it. You can count on the sun coming up till God says it's not going to come up anymore. You can count on it going down till God says it's not going to go down anymore. You can count on seasons. You can count on the rotation of the earth because God set the earth in motion and the universe in motion. You can count on those things. They're reliable. They're in nature, and they're laws that reveal the attributes of God. They reveal the consistency, again, of God. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. Man, I love it when the Bible starts off like that. Do not be deceived. And let me give you good news. When I read that, I don't think of you. Now, don't misunderstand me. I've been tempted to think of you. But when I read that, I don't think of you. When I read that, I receive that as a warning from God. Dwayne, do not let anybody deceive you in regards to the attributes of God, in regards to the nature of God, in regards to the consistency of God, in regards to the laws of nature that God has established, and in regards to the laws of the kingdom of heaven that'll endure forever. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. I love that. God is not mocked. Now, whether God gets mocked or not in our culture, don't you dare be deceived. God is mocked in our culture, and many are deceived in our world. And yet we're warned as believers, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of his flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Notice that if we sow to our flesh, we of our flesh will reap corruption. It didn't say if you sow to your flesh, you will of God reap corruption. No, he says if you sow to your flesh, because of the consistent law of sowing and reaping, both in the natural and both in the kingdom of heaven, then this is what you will reap. You will reap corruption, and corruption means to go from good to bad. And I am watching many good people who are deceived, thinking God will be mocked and that they can sow to their flesh now and not reap corruption. All the good in your life turned to bad is what it means to corrupt. Then he says, if you sow to the Spirit, though, you will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So when we sow to the right thing, when we live lives that bring glory to God, when we sow to the things that please the Holy Spirit, we of that same Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Notice how all of a sudden he turned actions and how we treat one another into sowing and reaping. Amen? That as much as we have opportunity, do good to people. And that's a seed. And God will not be mocked. Don't you be deceived. Those seeds are overseen by Jesus, the gardener of our hearts and the kingdom of God, and those seeds will produce a harvest if you do not faint. That is so powerful. That is so comforting to me. Now, a lot of people, because they're either again locked into immaturity or they just won't apply themselves, they'll sit there and hear something like that and say, and their mind will go wild with them, are you saying that every bad thing in my life, I sowed to it? No, I'm saying most of the bad things in your life you sowed to it. Not all. You can't say and make a blanket statement that every bad thing that happens to somebody, they sowed a seed for it. But you can say this: if you sow bad seeds, you're going to get a bad harvest. And you cannot be deceived in that. And so if you want a better harvest, let's believe for crop failure and let's learn to sow the right seeds. And that's what happened to me over 4 decades ago now, was I saw, wait a minute, some of the bad stuff in my life was because I'm in a fallen world, a dark world. Other things, listen, this is important. Other bad things in my life were generational harvest of seeds sown generations before me, and nobody believing for crop failure and starting new seeds, planting new seeds. Then a lot of the stuff, not all, but a lot of the stuff was my own sowing of bad seeds, and I did it in ignorance. This is why it's so easy to be, at least for me, to be merciful to people that I look at their lives and it's a mess, and I want to help them, but I don't want to condemn them. That if you can ever see, wait a minute, I sowed to that, instead of getting condemned, and I've taught you thoroughly how not to be condemned, let's sow different seeds. Because just as sure as you sow a bad seed and get a bad harvest, you can sow a good seed now and get a good harvest. Amen. Go to Mark chapter 4. I do have a lot to cover. We'll get there. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Mark 4, 26. And he said, this is Jesus, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. So he's teaching us how God's kingdom works. We all know Colossians chapter 1 says, if you're born again, you've been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You are a resident of God's kingdom if you know Jesus as Lord. So how does that kingdom work now? How do I work in that kingdom and see blessings in my life? The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night, rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth, now I want you to underline this if you have your Bible. If not, you need to take notes, and we're gonna hone in on this. This is pretty powerful. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So in this passage, we see two major things: the power and potential of seeds. And listen, we see the power and potential of ground. Of ground. He said the ground produces of itself. That needs to sink in, and I'm going to elaborate on that over the next few sessions. And I'm telling you, it's going to be huge in your life once you begin to understand how your heart is ground and how that God in the kingdom has given you some ground, some land. The whole Old Testament in many places testifies of the land, the land, the land, the promised land, and they all were given land. They were all given ground, and if they mishandled the ground, if they were poor stewards of the ground, if they sold the ground, God believed in the ground and the ground's potential and power to bless your life, that every 50 years, the year of Jubilee, everybody got their ground back. No matter how you lost it, it could have been stolen by an enemy. You could have lost it again through poor stewardship. You could have lost it in a weak moment of poverty selling it, but everybody got their land back every 50 years because the land has the potential to bless your life if you can understand your promised land, if you can understand your promised land. And I pray to get there. I pray to get there. So let's talk about the mystery of the seed first, the mystery of the seed. I've just got five quick things to cover with you. There's many things, but you better understand these five even when you don't understand other things. Because remember, the guy that sowed the seed, he didn't understand everything about it, but he had enough sense to sow it, he had enough sense to water it, and he had enough sense to reap it. So there are some things we have to understand about seed time and harvest, because God says as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest is going to remain. This principle of sowing and reaping was, if you will, initiated in the garden. It remained after Adam and Eve sinned and fell, and this world became totally different than God created it. It remained before the law, it remained under the law, and it remains after the law. I don't know if I have time to get into the exception of Israel, but there was a season in Israel's life, listen, they didn't have to sow to reap. They went 40 years with food falling out of heaven called manna. They went for 40 years with their clothes and shoes not wearing out. Amen. But as soon as they got into their land, God said, the manna will cease. Your clothes are going to get worn out. So you better know how to sow, wait, and reap. And so while miracles can override, oh, this is good if you're listening. Miracles can override the law of sowing and reaping. But as soon as the miracle is over, the law of sowing and reaping kicks in again. See, I need miracles. You need miracles. We all need miracles, but we can't live on miracles. Just like a plane can't stay in the air forever. Nod your head on this and act spiritual. It has to land eventually, and other laws, natural laws, begin to kick in again. This law of sowing and reaping will remain as long as the earth remains, and there are seasons where God will intervene through our childlike faith and perform a miracle in our lives. But you can't be sustained on miracles. You got to sow. You got to understand time. And you have to reap in order to experience a consistent, blessed life. Boy, that's powerful. Because we all need miracles, and I'm believing for miracles, and we're seeing miracles. Great. But I've even seen churches get out of balance where everything's about a miracle now and we're just trusting for money to show up in the mailbox. No, read the book of Job. You got to read the book of Job. You got to work. Are there seasons we need supernatural interventions financially? Absolutely. But you can't live on those. You have to understand seed time and harvest. So let's go over these five things quickly. Number one, all seeds have life in them. Whatever you can sanctify as a seed, we're talking about natural seeds have life in them. But as we get into the kingdom of God, other things can become seeds that have life in them to reproduce a harvest for you. And so all seeds have life in them. Number two, they must be sown, or excuse me, they are dormant until sown and die. Think about this for a minute. A natural seed has life in it, but it's dormant. It not only has to be sown, this is powerful, please give me your undivided attention for a moment. Not only does that seed have to be sown, the mystery of seeds is somehow or another that seed has to die. Or it remains alone. John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus said that a grain of wheat, unless it is sown and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. So see, boy, I'm about to get into some deep water here already. There's so many Christians are confused that, well, I've given and I've sown. Well, did the seed die? Did you really give with a pure motive? Did you really give and let go of it? And it die? Or did you give grudgingly? Or did you give of necessity? Or did you give with the wrong motives? The seed has to die, or it will remain alone. But if it dies, see, I had to learn not just to give, but I had to give with no strings attached. I had to give with no impure motives. I had to give, and I don't know if I'll get to all this or not. Praise the Lord. I'm getting blessed. I apologize. I didn't come to bless me, but I am blessed. I'm entering into a whole nother realm of giving where I'm giving with pure motives. I'm giving with no strings attached. I'm giving and really letting it go. Some of you, you've believed the message about give and it'll be given to you. And when the offering bucket is passed, the reason we quit passing the offering buckets is too many of you watched it go down the aisle. You put your money in it, watched it go down the aisle. Then you saw it coming back and you wanted to grab inside the bucket and take all the money out. Because you gave only to get. That seed didn't die. Amen. I'm telling you, if you're awake, if something's not working, don't get condemned, don't get frustrated, and don't get upset at God. There's something He wants to get to you in understanding that a release, blessings, and this good life that you were created to experience. Because I'll tell you this too, I'm way ahead of myself now, but God created every one of you good ground. And the ground has the ability in the ground to reproduce. And yet you just need to learn to activate it. So that's number two. Number three, they must be sown in good ground. Any wise farmer knows you can't sow seeds on concrete and get a harvest. Amen? So you have to learn this issue of ground and how to sow your seed on good ground. Number four, they must be watered. Paul talked about he planted, Apollos watered in 1 Corinthians 3:6. They must be sown in one form, but reaped in another form. And this is a mystery. And many of you, I love you. I'm endeavoring to capture your heart. Many of you have sown and you reaped and you didn't even recognize your harvest because seeds are sown in one form and they're reaped in another form. And so many people are mad at God. They're blaming God. Well, I've been sowing and I haven't got a harvest. No, you've been sowing. And if you sowed properly, there's a harvest, but you're not recognizing your harvest because seeds are sown in one form and they're reaped in another form. Now, if you want corn, you have to sow corn, but you reap corn in a different form than the seed. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, our bodies even have to be sown. We have to die and the body be sown, but it's sown in one form and it's reaped in another form. Now listen, you sow your body, you'll get another body, but it'll be in a different form. Yeah, I heard a thank God right in there. I won't name names, but I agree with thank God on that one. Sister, narrowing it down a little bit. Hallelujah. The Bible says, yes, what you want, you have to sow. It has to die and be sown. So God wants you to have a resurrected body. So this body has to be sown, but it's sown in weakness. It's reaped in power. It's sown mortal. It's reaped immortal. Somebody besides our sister needs to get excited about this. We will get a new body, but it'll be in a different form because it's sown in one form and it's reaped in another form. A tree came from an acorn. Well, where I come from, it's an acorn. Amen. Amen. It's an acorn. And so it's sown an acorn, in one form. But watch this. It's not just reaped as a tree. In some ways, it's reaped as a baseball bat. The harvest is baseball bats. The harvest is a piano. The harvest is a log cabin. See, it's sown in one form, an acorn, but it's reaped ultimately a log cabin. And so this is how God's kingdom works. These are the things we have to understand about seed time and harvest. Everything comes from a seed. Everything comes from a seed. You came. We came from a seed. Do you understand? You're the byproduct of a seed. That millions of sperm was released chasing an egg, and only one sperm seed penetrated the wall of that egg, and here you are. That's why every one of you are more than conquerors. That's why I go, you have triumphed. I don't care how messed up you are now. You beat out millions of other sperm. You have the ability to prosper. You have the ability to be blessed. You have the ability to overcome anything if you overcame that in your mother's womb. We are born again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says that we are born again, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Your first birth, seed. Your second or new birth, seed. What was the seed? It was God's word sown in the womb of our heart. Jesus is called in the Bible the promise seed in Galatians 3, 16 and 19. We are now called Abraham's seed according to Galatians 3, 29. God has left us here as seed. Your life is a seed. You are Abraham's seed that God has sown in the earth, and God is expecting a harvest off of our lives as Abraham's seed in the world today. Now, let's talk about the mystery of the ground. I think I'm going to make it at least to lay a foundation. Go to Genesis 2, and let me show you some things that I had missed for years. Genesis chapter 2. I knew these in a, if you will, immature condition, a lacking in my understanding, with limited understanding. I've always known that ground was important and that my heart was ground, and that was important. But as I was just praying over these things a few years ago and really just seeking God, it was like God showed me another level of ground and how important ground is. And that the world does not understand the mysteries of seed. They are very limited. Man without God is very limited in his understanding of seed time and harvest. He has enough to survive, but not enough to thrive. And the world has nothing to do, it seems like, with understanding of land, of ground, physical land and ground and the value of it. And in the kingdom of God, how that the kingdom is our promised land as Christians, but within that land, the kingdom of God, just like Israel had portions of the land per tribe, we have portions of land in God's kingdom that it's important as a Christian eventually that you find your promised land, your inheritance in the kingdom of God. And it all began here. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. Look at verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So man came from the ground. The ground had Adam in it. And God took Adam out of the ground, the dust of the earth, and breathed into him the breath of life, and that's when he became a living soul. That's when his spirit came within him. He had a brain, a natural brain. He had a body, but until the spirit was put in him, there was no life to the body. So the spirit that God breathed, the breath of life that he breathed into the man, that's what gave now his brain life and his body life. But I had missed, he said that all of the trees came from the ground. That out of the ground, God formed the trees. Now, I knew he took the animals out of the ground. It goes on to say that in verse 18. Go there, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird. And every bird, look at that, and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Adam came from the ground. All the animals came from the ground. All the trees, all the fruit-bearing trees that would have seed originally came from the ground. All the birds came from the ground. Everything was in the ground. Somebody said, well, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, anybody that's read the Bible knows the chicken came first. God didn't say eggs hatch, multiply, and replenish the earth. No, he spoke to the chickens. And he said to the chickens, I made you male, I made you female, and there will be seed in the male, and you can get together and have a good time with the chicken. Sorry, that did not come out right. I'm trying to communicate. And the result of that will be eggs, and the eggs will hatch baby chickens. The real question for the Christian, you already have the answer which came first, chicken into the egg. The real question is, where did the chicken come from? The chicken came from the ground. The first chicken came from the ground. Listen to me, we got 10 acres over here that we have plans for still. But did you realize in that ground over there is corn? The corn is already in the ground. All it needs is to be activated, and a seed with life in it can be planted in that ground. Listen, and the seed will die, and out of the ground will come the corn. I'm sorry. Took me a few years. I can't expect you to get it in a few seconds. The ground has everything in it already that we need. It was created for seed. And seeds will activate the ground, and the ground will produce fruit of itself. I just can't be patient, even in my teaching. I'm telling you, your heart is ground, and everything you have need of is already in your heart. It's in your ground. All your heart needs is seed to activate the ground and bring out of you what God's already deposited in each and every one of you. And God has made, I don't care where you've come from. I don't care where you're at. You may have damaged your heart. You may have hardened your heart. You may have poisoned your heart. But originally, God gave you a heart, ground, that will produce a blessed life full of joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. He has put in your heart, your ground, everything you'll have need of in this life. And all you need is seed, God's word, and plant it in your ground. Get your ground healed. Get your ground, your hard heart that's been hardened by the world, softened by the presence of God, softened by the assembling together and worship of God. And I'm telling you, everything you need in this life's already in your heart. All that heart needs is ground to release that good thing. I didn't see that for years. I kept thinking I was flawed. And you talk about bad ground. I really thought I was flawed ground. I thought I was just an exception to the rule. That if I just go to heaven, if I could just make it to heaven, that'd be a lot of luck just to get to heaven. And I found out God had already brought heaven to me in Jesus Christ. and that my heart was created by God, and just like original ground, the original earth had everything. See, everything we experience now came from the ground. Those chairs came from the ground. Your clothes came from a seed that came from something that came from the ground. Everything goes back to ground, and after God in original creation took from the ground every tree we need, took from the ground every animal we need, took from the ground all the birds. In Genesis chapter 1, go there. Let's close there. After God took everything we need in this life from the ground that He had blessed. You ever thought about Him blessing creation and even blessing the ground? Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. After God created man in His own image and in His own likeness, how many of you know you are not God? No matter how much New Age philosophy is surfacing again, this thing has come in cycles, and now it's on the rise again. Self-righteousness, the woke movement, is on the rise again. Religion, man trying to do good without God, is on the rise again. No matter how much we're told in the culture, you are a God, you are not a God, you're created in the image and likeness of God. Amen. And even in the new creation that we're experiencing now and are being united to Christ and how that Christ is in us, the hope of glory, that doesn't make us a God, capital G. No, we're a people that are yielded to God. We're a people that God is living in and flowing through, but we are not a God. Just one of the many lies our young people are being inundated with. And part of good church culture is for me to lovingly counter things that destroy people's ground. We were created in the image and the likeness of God. Then he says in verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you shall be for food. So the original trees, the original orange trees, the original fruit trees, all the original things that came out of the ground, God said, I put seed in them that if you will take that seed, put it in the ground, there's trees in the ground. Amen. These are things we're to learn. Not so we can just know what the Bible says. They're things we're supposed to learn, not so we can say we know something somebody else doesn't know. These are things we're supposed to learn that are natural things that point to the supernatural things so that the mysteries of the kingdom can be enjoyed by the people of the kingdom. These things are hidden from the world. They're called mysteries all through the Bible. They're not hidden from us, they're hidden for us. And while the world continues and will continue till the appearing of Jesus and His kingdom, mock those who are operating in the mysteries of the kingdom, we're supposed to be smiling like the cat that ate the canary. With you mock me all you want, I'm going to live a blessed life and a prosperous life because I understand ground, I understand seeds, I understand life. And it may make every one of us look like an odd duck in this world. But if you're operating in the kingdom of God, you're going to be an odd duck in this world. And I'm here to tell you that as we probe into this, God is going to release great harvest. This is what I've been praying over for years. What is this that you're showing me? I know it's for my personal life and my family and blessings. I get that, God. But is there a bigger picture for the body of Christ? And I'm telling you, there's a great harvest on the horizon, but seeds have to be sown, and many of you are going to become even the human seed that has to be sown in a ground, a promised land in the kingdom of God for you to bear much fruit. You know, there's times people need to move on, and I get all that, but I have watched person after person leave their ground. God ordained them to be planted right here. And they left the ground, and I don't want to give testimonies. I'm sure this couple's watching right now, and I need to hush. Hallelujah. Find your ground, get planted, and watch God bring fruit out of your life. Amen. Amen.